welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
So it's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If disaster comes upon us, the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you. For your name is in this house. In fact, your name is this house. And cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear us. Then I start looking at all the other are you ready for this now? New International, New Living, English Standard, New American Standard, King James, Christian Standard Bible, Contemporary Christian, Good News Translation, the Holman Christian Bible, International Standard. But you know what? They all say the same thing. So for some reason, the Holy Spirit wanted us to zero in on 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So guess what we're going to do? And I had already prepared a little something early this morning at my house, in my office. And then when that came, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, go over to 2 Chronicles real quick, if you don't mind. I remember the last time I had preached this a number of years ago, I had given you a little phrase that I use every day. When you don't know what to do, if you don't know what to do, anyone ever been there? Go like this. Yes, we have. How many of you are in one of those places right now where you don't know what to do in a situation? You got to know where to go. Where do you go? Go to the Word of God. The Word and Jesus are synonymous with one another. Fair enough? Now, the Lord said something to me. I had written it down in notes a while back, and then he gave me something else for it. I'd rather have habitation than visitation. A visitation is when somebody comes in, you have a move of the Spirit, and then when they leave, most times it would happen. It dwindles. There's a revival here, then it dwindles down. But the Holy Spirit had said, I'd rather have habitation, not visitation. How many of you know when somebody visits your house, what happens? They're there a while, then they leave. You go somewhere, you have a suitcase, you visit, you're visiting somebody, you pack it up, and you leave again. But habitation is where somebody lives. Now, if I came to your house and I was wanting a drink of water, a coffee cup or something like that, a cereal bowl, I would not know which cabinet you had them in. But what happens if I ask you? You know exactly where to go and exactly where to find it. Am I correct? Because you live there. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me this morning. I wrote it down. I said, well, okay. Visitation is a move of the Spirit. But he said to me, habitation is the Holy Spirit moving in. I want the Holy Ghost to move in every day. If I'm in the way, trouble happens. How many of you know when we get involved, all things? But he is the answer. Say he's the answer. Because man does not know one moment to the next if we'll be here. With that kind of uncertainty in our lives, listen, we've got to know where to go. And Jesus Christ, the Word of God, God himself, can never fail you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he'll never fail me. He never let me down. Amen? So let's go over to 2 Chronicles quickly. We won't finish this message, but we're going to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Right in the first verse, we find something out. Say verses 1 through 3, it's the problem. Say the problem. Have you ever had a problem? Yes, absolutely. And what happens is many times is you and I as believers talk more about the problem than we do about the answer. Have you ever found that one to be true? Something happened, something said, and we're talking about it and talking about it, talking about it, and we're not giving God or the Holy Spirit a chance to speak back. Don't overwhelm yourself, and I'm telling me this at the same time, don't overwhelm ourselves with the problem, because who's the problem solver? Jesus. Say Jesus is, amen? When a problem comes, did Jesus Christ know, the Holy Spirit know that that problem was coming your way? If he knew it already, guess what? He is the answer for whatever it is. Does a problem sometimes surprise us? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. There's nothing that surprises God. There's nothing that surprises the Holy Spirit. Say, nothing that will surprise us. Over in Hebrews 4:15, you don't have to turn there. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, he yet without sin. So I began to jot a few things down, and here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said he understands our dilemmas. Everything, say this out loud with me, everything that we face and have faced, he has experienced. Was he victorious over it? Where does he live now? In us. So if he's in us, then we have victory already. Victory always comes when you praise God. Say, victory is ours. Here's another thing I wrote down. He has experienced your problem and my dilemma. He has already. That means somewhere in life when he was on planet Earth, he met everything you and I would wind up meeting in our life, and he nailed it to the cross and did away with it. So why do we labor in the area of problems and talking about the problems and wear ourselves down and wear ourselves out when he is the answer? I always say this, the problem and the answer is 1 inch below your nose. How many of you know our mouth, James talks about it really strong. He says life and death, power of the tongue. He said your tongue is like a little match that could set a whole forest on fire. It's like the rudder of a ship. A small rudder could turn a large ship. Our tongue and what we say out of our mouth will determine where we're going. But what's the first thing we do when something comes our way? All of us are human beings, flesh and blood. Say, my tongue is the problem. But together, if our tongues are speaking the word of God, we will have the answer, listen to me, that's already out there, begin to break through the clouds, the storminess, the darkness, and all of a sudden we say, thank you, Jesus, because if we have the answer in us, say, we have the answer in us, we've got to speak it out of our mouth. We can't go, We've got to say, thank you, Jesus. You are the answer to every dilemma, every situation that comes my way and your way. Amen. How many of you believe that? Amen. Then why do you and I as human beings never call on him first? We call on ourselves to get rid of the problem. How many of you know you and I will fail? Sometimes miserably. How many of you know when something comes your way, and I do too, that I should go to the Word and go to the Holy Spirit? And do I always? I had a dilemma the other day. My wife and I were talking about it. And I said, you know what? I have no peace about this. She said, I don't either. So we haven't done anything with it. Why? Because God has not instructed us to go anywhere forward, but to stand still and see what God's going to do. Say the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself is familiar with our disappointments. Have you ever had disappointments in your life? Boy, I am surrounded by disappointments being a pastor and everything else that goes with it. But I've learned how to give it to him. Say, give it to him. I think I shared this with you. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was the week before. But there are times when people leave, and I sometimes am affected because I'm the dad. My wife's affected because she's the mom. That's how it goes. And I was so upset about certain families leaving. I'm saying, all that's been invested, it got into my soul. And it shouldn't have, but I let it in. I was having a pity party, but nobody was coming, just me. And then the Holy Ghost spoke to me, because he saw I was getting into trouble. He said, do you think anybody sent Jesus a letter or emailed him or texted him that they were leaving him? If they left him, they're going to leave you. And then he said to me, have you raised the dead? Well, I have raised the dead. He did. Have you healed everybody you've prayed for? I felt like Job in the Bible. Job opens his mouth up and says everything he's going to say. And then God says, let me straighten you out, bud. So I heard the Holy Ghost, and guess what I did? Forgive me. I will never let those things come out of my mouth again. You understand? God understands our disappointments. Say, he understands my disappointments. He knows every temptation that will come your way and my way. He has already experienced it and nailed it to the cross of Calvary. I took a quote, if you don't mind, from Smith Wigglesworth. I don't even remember who he was. He said this. It's so cute. He said, the trouble with many Christians is that they have a spiritual squint. With one eye, they're looking at the problem. With the other eye, they're looking at the promise. You can't look at both and get results. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. Am I right? You've got to stick with one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's go back to the first three verses of this. See what the Holy Spirit wants to do. 2 Chronicles 20. We have a problem. Say, we've got a problem. It was told Jehoshaphat in second verse, a great multitude has come against you from behind the Dead Sea. And look at the third verse. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. Listen, he proclaimed a fast in all of Judea. So say there was a problem. Who was coming against him? Large armies were coming against him. So why wouldn't you call out the soldiers? Why wouldn't you get all your artillery ready? Because Israel had none of those things. If an enemy is coming against you, do you want to be prepared? Without any question. Now listen to what happens in these next few verses. There's a prayer. Look at the seventh verse, if you don't mind. Did not you, O Lord, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham? They dwelt in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name's sake. Look at verse 9. If evil comes upon us, the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name and your symbol of your presence is in this house, and the cry to you in our affliction, and you will say what? You will
hear.
The answer was when they listened to God and they went and they did something with their mouth to defeat the enemy. They praised him. Now listen, the word Judah means praise. Holy Spirit said this to me. He said they already had the answer and they forgot they had it. You and I already have the answer and we forget that we have it. The first thing we should pick up is the word. Speak the word out of our mouth with boldness because of who you and I are. You and I are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Does it ever change? No, it never changes. Say it never changes. It stays the same. Be solid with your feet in the ground. Amen. Are you ready now? Say there's a prayer that goes up. Look at verse 14. Because God spoke. So there's, say there's a problem. I'm giving you all peace here. A problem. And then what? A prayer. And now the prophetic word comes. God's going to answer us. Listen to what the word says. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon a young man, a son of Zechariah. And listen to what he said. He said, hearken, all Judea, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, you King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says this to you. Be not afraid. Say that aloud with your lips. Be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude. When a problem comes your way and my way, when a situation comes your way and my way, don't be dismayed. Don't be concerned. Don't be worried. Worried is sin. You don't have to be anxious about anything. Can I tell you where anxiety starts? Right up here. I've been attacked by it more than once. How about you? And what do you have to do? Immediately speak the word out of your mouth to it. Amen. Say, speak the word of God out of your mouth. Listen to what it says. Don't be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours.
Praise God.
Every battle you and I will face has roots in the spirit realm.
Amen.
It's not me. It's not you. It's God who will solve our problems. It's God who will plow away before you and I. Amen? Listen to what he says here now, verse 16. Tomorrow, go down to them. Listen, when a problem arises in your life, in my life, we don't wait for it to come to us. We go to it. We do exactly what David did to Goliath. He didn't wait for Goliath to get to him. He went down to him, and he spoke what God said to him. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He said basically this, who does not have a relationship with the living God like I do that he would dare come against God? Anything or anybody that comes against you had better beware, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care what it is, God is greater. I don't care what somebody said, God is greater.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus, because Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive.